Welcome in the name of our risen Lord. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth is a man attested to you by God with mighty works, wonders, and signs. He cared for the poor and outcast. He cured the disease and gave them new life. He gives to us a dream that will not let us sleep. He gives us an adventure that will not let us rest. It is because he is risen and is alive that we gather today.
Our first scripture reading is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witness of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him. After he rose from the dead, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God anointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he said these things to her. This is the gospel of the risen Christ. Thanks be to God.
Many years ago, when the former leader of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev, died, the Communist Party that had cast him out was uncomfortable with the idea of burying him on Russian soil. So first they called the President of the United States and asked them if they could bury him here. And Nixon, who was having a few issues of his own at the time, declined the offer. So then the Soviet leaders called Golda Meir, the Prime Minister of Israel. And she was agreeable, but then she added, I must warn you that this country has the world's highest resurrection rate. And in case you're curious, the world's highest resurrection rate is one. And that is why we are here today, because Christ is risen. St. Augustine said, you are Easter people, and your song is Alleluia. This is a joyous day that we celebrate. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in some traditions, they call it Resurrection Sunday. Today we celebrate Jesus' victory over death. Death could not and did not keep him down. Last week we talked about this triumph and the victory that is guaranteed to each of us by Jesus' victory over death. But let's look a little closer at this resurrection thing. Why is the resurrection so important? Without the resurrection, is there even a point to Christianity? Jesus didn't come back to show us that he could be raised from the dead. To wake up from the sleep of death and set aside those burial cloths? That's not so difficult. Not for the one who was there when the world was created, or who had a hand in creation itself, or who was the very force of life. No, not for him. The point of his resurrection is that he shows us through his sacrifice that we are forgiven for our sins. Alleluia. And the point in his resurrection is that Jesus guarantees eternal life for us. Alleluia. Jesus' resurrection, his return to life, marked the time when the Holy Spirit would become available to us. Within us. Alleluia. Alleluia. That Jesus that stood before Mary at the tomb, the one who said, don't hold on to me because I have not yet gone to my Father, that was not the Jesus that would stay forever. The permanent presence of Christ, that which is with you always, is through the Holy Spirit. And his divine presence is with us each and every day, whispering and singing to you, reminding you that you are forgiven, reminding you that you are loved, reminding you that you are his. The resurrection promises the remaking of everything that is right and good in the world that God created, God's kingdom restored. And the resurrection invites us to be a part of that, and to live transformed lives that are continually shaped and changed by the hope of that redemption. And that's what it means when we say we are Easter people, we are resurrection people. Life right now is not the way God intended it to be. We suffer sickness, we suffer pain, we suffer sorrow. The world is not at peace. There's violence and poverty and injustice and hardship all over the globe. We don't get along with one another, and we don't treat everyone with love and care. But God is not silent. God is still at work in the world. God is still bringing renewal each and every moment. And some of those moments of renewal, we get to witness. Think about it, in 2012, when Superstorm Sandy hit, New Jersey was hit particularly hard. Here in Greater New Jersey, which is what our conference, our collection of Methodist churches here in New Jersey is called, we rebuilt over 200 homes. And people came from other states to help us with that. That is renewal. Renewal that is tangible, that you can see, and that you can participate in. Think about this past year. A pandemic hit the world. Now, unless you were around in 1918, this is probably your first pandemic. And please God, may it be the last. But people stepped up. They made face masks. There were people who had never sewn a stitch making face masks. I tried to buy a sewing machine for my mother because her other one broke, and the guy told me, you know, they're flying out of here. People who don't know how to sew are buying sewing machines to make face masks. I did find her one. Don't worry, she's not without a sewing machine. But the point is that everybody wanted to be a part of making face masks because everyone needed them, and we didn't have them. We weren't ready. What about healthcare workers who from the very beginning of the pandemic were working these long, tireless hours with helping people that had the virus, putting themselves at risk of getting the virus, and many of them did. But that was their job, that was their call, that's their vocation, and they went and did it. Law enforcement, EMTs, the person at ShopRite, okay? You're all still eating. We all gained that COVID-19, right? So none of us was starving. And that's because those essential workers in ShopRite were still there with your food, and you were able to get what you needed, right? Essential workers of all kind have been working throughout this whole thing. That is renewal and resurrection that is tangible, that you can see. All of that. What about teachers? All of a sudden being told, oh, you have to teach virtually, and your little children are going to be on these little squares on Zoom. Oy. And then the parents being told, oh, by the way, you're going to get to keep your children all day, and you're going to have to watch them learn on Zoom. And they did it. And they're still doing it. And let's not leave out the pastors who had to change worship on a dime, and within a week figure out how to go through an iPhone to you all in your homes. And we've come a long way. Thanks, guys. All of that is renewal, is resurrection. We, as Easter people, can experience resurrection every day. And we can have that alleluia that Augustine says is in our hearts and our minds every day. Sometimes we let life bog us down, drag us down, and even defeat us. We can also let life drag down our faith until it comes less and less, and it only comes out on special occasions. As Christians, we experience resurrection every day. We just have to become more aware. We have to keep our eyes and our ears open for God and those resurrection moments. Look for them. We have to keep our hearts open to receive them and to be willing to participate in them. And not only for ourselves, but for others too. Every day can be Easter. Every day as Easter people, we can sing our Alleluia. No matter what you're going through, you can choose to have your Alleluia and live in that space of hope that the resurrection gives us. The Apostle Paul tells us, I have learned to live and be content in all circumstances, whether they're bad or they're good. You are not your circumstances. You are not to live in your circumstances. Despite your circumstances, you're to live in joy and hope because Jesus has risen. Jesus is risen. That's present tense. Maybe you've had a bad diagnosis, and maybe your chances of survival aren't good. We all know people who have experienced that, who are experiencing that right now. And whatever time they have left is critical. It's critical to love the people that you have in your life and let them know that you love them. It's critical to make amends with people in your life at that time, all times really, but in that time in particular, so that there's reconciliation. It's important for you to be in deep relationship with God. And maybe they get to live a little longer, serve God and others, love God and others. But if that doesn't happen and the end comes, then two things will be accomplished. One, they will know that they did their best to love while they lived, and they did their best to serve while they lived. And two, as they transition home to their beloved Creator who's waiting for them, they know that they are loved beyond all understanding as they enter the Creator's arms. There's hope in resurrection because in coming back from the dead, Jesus gave us eternal life. Eternal life with God, our Creator, where there's no more death, there's no more mourning, and there's no more crying, and there's no more pain. I think of a parishioner here a few years back who fought a long battle with cancer, and she spent her last years showing people how to die well. She did what she could to survive the cancer and took all kinds of different treatments, but in the meantime, she lived life abundantly. She spent time with people she loved. She did things she'd always wanted to do as her body and time allowed. She knew that death was not the end, and she was at peace with that. No matter what you're going through right now, whether it's illness, addiction, financial struggles, broken relationships, loneliness, this is not the end. Jesus promised to be with you always. And Jesus is with you right here and right now, all the time. Jesus understands your struggles and your pain because Jesus was human. Jesus died for the forgiveness of your sins, and Jesus came back from the dead to remind you of all of this. Jesus came back so you would know that you would also have this eternal life with God. We are Easter people. It doesn't matter how rough life is because Jesus is with us. It doesn't matter how ugly things appear because we can still have that alleluia in our heart. This isn't the end of the story. There's a little detail in the text that we just heard that's really easy to overlook. And John is known for putting these details in his gospel that seem inconsequential, but they really have a deeper meaning. So, have you ever wondered why John tells us about that piece of cloth that had covered Jesus' face that was separated from the rest of the burial cloths? I always thought that was a little odd. But the Hebrew tradition of Jesus' time tells us something about that napkin, if you will, that separate cloth. It has to do with an interaction between a master and his servant. And every Jewish boy would have known this tradition. When the servant set the table for the master, he would make sure it was exactly the way the master wanted. He would set it perfectly. And then the servant would move out of sight and wait. And he'd wait for the master to finish his meal. The servant would not dare touch the table until the master was finished. If the master was done eating, he'd rise from the table, wipe his fingers, his mouth, his beard, and then he'd wad up the napkin and toss it on the table. And then the servant would know and go and clear the table. The wadded napkin meant, I'm done. But if the master got up from the table and folded the napkin, laying it beside his plate, the servant wouldn't dare touch the table because the folded napkin meant, I'm coming back. That piece of cloth to the side says Jesus is coming back. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Amen.